Some people put the chair sideways so they can see where they are. What about you, Charlie Brown? Where do you put your deck chair? And Charlie Brown said, "Well, to be honest, I can never seem to get mine unfolded." And I just want you to know that 2017 is here. And some of you have got your deck chair facing back. And you know, it's all right to look back on some things. I do remember the day the Lord saved me. Amen. We don't ever forget those great experiences. But too many times we find ourselves looking back. In 2016, we saw it all, just about. We saw nightclub shootings, ISIS bombs. We saw the election, surprise election. We had Hurricane Matthew. In 2016 had a lot of surprises. We weren't expecting the election. We weren't expecting the hurricane when it came. I mean, we thought here in North Carolina it was just going to be a little wind and a little rain, and it turned out to be a Hurricane Floyd type storm. We saw everything from a surprise election to a hurricane to the death of Princess Leah in the last few days, Carrie Fisher. And so the deck chair facing back, there's some things that happened in 2016. And then some of you have got your deck chair facing sideways. You're caught up in the now. I got a bill to pay tomorrow. I've got a doctor's report. I've got something going on now and some issues that I'm striving with. And some of you have actually got your deck chair, which is good, facing forward. And you should be facing forward. Amen? You should be facing forward. Look, you really don't need a new year. You actually need a new you. And when you get a new you, any old year will do. Give the Lord a hand of praise for a new you. Amen? You know, as I look forward, I'm going to have to say that Satan is still on the loose. Crime is up. Sin is rampant. The gays want to marry, and the straights want to live together without marriage. The church has its wheat, and the church has its tares. But you can have your chair facing backward and see trouble, facing sideways and seeing trouble. You can have your chair facing forward and seeing impossibilities. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to unfold my chair like Charlie Brown. I'm going to lay on the deck, and I'm going to be looking up unto the hills, for whence cometh my help. I'm not looking back or forward. I'm looking up, and Jesus could come in 20. I wish you would give him a hand of praise here tonight. We're looking up. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that for 2017, Brother Kyle, I want you to know that things are looking up. Amen. I'm going to tell you, in my personal life, God has spoken some things to me. I got in this altar a couple of Friday nights ago, and as soon as I sat down on that altar, God gave me three things. And just this morning, I had to take a trip to the restroom. You know, we all have to go to the restroom, wash our hands, freshen up. And I had a specific prayer request. And while I was in the restroom, Brother Philip, sometimes when God speaks to me, and it's different, but you just—it's almost like boom, He just said something to me. And I look around, I'm like, I didn't hear a voice, but all of a sudden, Brother Jerry, you know what He said in the restroom there? He said, "I'm gonna do what you asked me to do." He said, "I'm gonna do what you asked me to do." You know, I'm like, really? And I have been just basking on that all day. He said He's going to do what I asked Him to do. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And I tell you, God's all over this place. He's in the pulpit. He's in the restroom. He's in the nursery. He's in the fellowship hall. I'm glad to be at Westmoreland Church for 2017. And this is going to be a great year. We're looking up. Things are going up. Attendance is going up. Offerings are going up. The church, praise God, is moving out. We're doing mighty things. Give Him a hand of praise. If you believe it this morning, this evening. Why is 2017 going to be a great year? That's the title of the sermon. Why I believe 2017 will be a great year. Number one, are you there? Are you ready? Number one, because of God's promises. You see, His promises, and I'm getting ready to go through all those scriptures, Brother Blue. Some of you are wondering what scripture is he going to read from tonight. We're going to have about 15 before it's over with. You ready? This year is going to be great because of God's promises. His promises are everlasting. His promises are unchanging. His promises, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, are yea and amen. I'm going to try to go through this. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Somebody said that there were 30,000 promises in the Word of God. Hallelujah. There's 365 fear nots in the Word of God. But Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not make it good? Amen. First Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not Pastor Jerry, one word has failed of all the good promises that he gave to his servant Moses. You can put your name there, that he gave to his servant, or Ricky, his servant, or Kyle, his servant. Oh, thank God, 2017 is going to be great because of the promises of God. Joshua 23 and 14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth, and you know with all of your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord God gave you has failed. Every promise. Somebody say every promise. Every promise, hallelujah, has come to pass. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Not one thing hath failed. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack in keeping his promise, as some count slackness, but he is patient, not wanting any to perish. And that means your children to perish, but to everyone that but is willing that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning what? His promise. Now finally, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. Have I given you enough scripture here tonight? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, not wavering. Read those last few words. For he is faithful that promised. I think we ought to just lift our hand and say, thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you have promised. Every word is coming to pass. Nothing will fall to the ground. No demon, no devil in hell, no doctor, no divorce, no debt, no disease will stop the promises of God. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. You see, the issue is not unfulfilled promises. The issue is unclaimed promises. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, promises are like luggage. You just pack them up, and when the time comes and you fly around the world with them, and somebody puts them on a conveyor belt, and there you go, and you're looking for your luggage. That ain't mine. That's close to mine, but that ain't mine. Oh, well, that looks like mine. No. Oh, whoa, there it is. And I can just see you, and Pastor Jerry got back from Africa. I can just see as he saw his luggage coming down the pike, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I'll get around to it. If you're like me, Pastor Jerry, you're over there claiming it. That's mine. Got my name on it. Got my stuff in it. Ain't going to leave it here. I'm going to grab it and open it up and be blessed and highly favored. I'm claiming my mother's salvation. I'm claiming healing for my body. I'm claiming that there's going to be revival like Azusa Street before my eyes close in death. I'm claiming that God's going to do mighty things. It's not unfulfilled promises. My goodness, claim that your children are going to be saved. Claim your body is going to be healed. Claim this church is going to move on out and move on up. And we're going to, well, glory to God. And we're going to see the, claim that job in Jesus' name. Now listen, if there's a delay in the promise, all it means is this: God got a good one coming. Amen. I claim all that He has for me. God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. God's gold is not miser's money, but is minted to be traded with. Nothing pleases the Lord better than to see His promises put into circulation. He loves to see His children bring them up to Him and say, "Lord, do as Thou hast said." We glorify God when we plead or proclaim or claim His promises. Do you think God will be any poorer for giving you the riches He has promised? When a Christian grasps a promise, if he do not take it to God, he dishonors Him. But when he hastens to the throne of grace and says, "Lord, I have nothing to recommend me but this, Thou hast said it," then his desire shall be granted. Our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. Draw the word of the promise out of the scabbard and use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your importunity, reminding Him of His promises. He loves to hear the loud outcries of needy souls. It is His delight to bestow favor. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. If it is God's nature to keep His promises, therefore go at once to the throne and say, "Do as Thou hast said." That's some good preaching, Brother Warren, from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Amen. Ain't got to worry about that. Oh, thank God that we can go and claim the promises. Do, Lord, as You've said. We stand in 2017 and we are claiming the promises of God. Can you say amen? 2017 is going to be great because of the promises of God. And number two, it's going to be great because of the power of God. You see, not only can He promise, but He can fulfill it. Now, if I promise you $1 million. Now, if Warren Downing promises you $1 million. Not really? Brother Downing, if you promise me $1 million, what's up with that? What if Bill Gates comes in here and says, "I'm going to give this church $1 million. Do we have any trouble believing that he can whip out that checkbook? At Best Buy, a man came in there with nice gray hair on and dressed nice, and looking at some televisions. And I was in a mood to size him up and realize he didn't need a little cheapo TV. I really felt prompted that he needed the number one top expensive television. Got to talking to him and talking to him about the benefits, the features, the measurements. Went over there and got his name. He said his name was Seth Wooten. I'm like, really? And then we talked some more. Seth Wooten paved the parking lot here when I was the pastor at Living Waters. That parking lot you're driving on. I told him, I said, "Mr. Wooten, you paved my parking lot." And I said, "I tell you something else. That's been a long time ago. And I tell you, sure would be nice. Roll some of them things over it one more time." And he told his man to get my name and number. I said, "I'm not the pastor anymore there. What? There's Pastor Dr. Jerry R. Nelson, but it's the same place. And I'll tell you what. I don't know if he's called, but I saw him yesterday. I'm going to tell you something. That man ain't got no problems doing anything he wants to do." And if you know Seth Wooten, I say that with all respect. He's a good man, been good to our community, and he helped our church when we paved it the first time. But I'm here to tell you, when God makes a promise, brother, He can fulfill it. Amen? If God said it, I don't care what the bank says. I don't care what the employer says. I'll tell you, I needed a promotion at Best Buy because I had been, part-time. They're cutting it down, 12 hours a week. And I had a manager in there. And I said, "Man, I need more hours and I need more tithes to pay." I didn't quite say it like that. But so they were, to get full-time is 32 hours. That's all. And that's part-time when I was a kid. And but when they bump you to 32 hours, you get benefits and all that. And I'm like, praise God. And the man wouldn't hire me, and the man wouldn't hire me. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I got so frustrated with it, and I prayed. And one day, Brother Philip, I walked to Best Buy, and the thought hit me, he's the one holding you back, and he might be gone. Well, he was 24 years old, young. I thought, no, sir, this is his career. But would you believe, by and by, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I came to work, and buddy, he was gone. You can't touch a man of God. And I don't mean that arrogantly, and I work hard, and you don't go out there and laze around and expect things. But when you do what you're supposed to do, when you're in covenant with God, and you have something that you need, and God has laid it before you, and some man stands in the way. Let me tell you something. Hold on, my child. Don't be ugly. Don't be rude. Because I'm going to tell you what. He's gone from the entire company. And guess what? I'm full-time now, and I got benefit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now they work me too much. I don't need to work as much now. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I don't think I'm getting big dough over there. I'm telling you, full-time is really part-time in the Obama economy. Trust me. Somebody say amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 11. Yay. I'm telling you, full-time is part-time today. Full-time when I was growing up was 40 hours plus and time and a half. And you get full-time today is really equal to part-time then. Can I get a witness out there? They dare not work you more than so many hours. Do they have so much government stuff to pay? It's sad, isn't it? But Isaiah 46 and 11 says, I have spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. Yea, I've spoken it. I will bring it to pass. He is going to fulfill His promise because of His power. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. Here's a man by the name of Jonathan. And there's a bunch of Philistines over there. I mean a whole ton of them. Making fun. Causing trouble. And Jonathan looks at his armor bearer. And he just can't stand it. Can't stand it. I get stirred when I see things. And Jonathan said, you know what? God can handle that crowd over there. And I'm like, well, you see how there's like 50 of them, there's 100 of them, there's two of us. Now listen, you got to use wisdom when you go fighting, amen? You got to use wisdom. But I'm going to tell you something. Jonathan had wisdom and he had faith. And Jonathan said to the young man, and I like that right there because we've got something to give to these young people, amen? We've got to tell our young people that we can overcome. And Jonathan looked to his young man and said, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Yes. And I'll tell you right now, they gave a little sign. We're going to show ourselves. And if we show ourselves to the enemy and they don't say anything to us, then we're going to stay here. But if we show ourselves and they taunt us and say, come over here and we'll show you a thing or two, then guess what? We're going for it. And sure enough, they showed themselves. And those Philistines says, ah, who are you? And that's what the devil's asking of the church. Just who do you think you are? Oh, you're just a gray-headed saint of God. You're just a Bible-thumping believer. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. And one plus God is a majority. Hallelujah. Jonathan said it may be. Sometimes that's all you've got. I heard Jensen Franklin preach it. When all you've got is a maybe. It may be that this is the job. I'm going to fill out that application. It may be that I need to win the witness in that break room. It may be that I'm here for such a time as this. I don't have all the answers, but I know who has the answers. And it may be that 2017 is going to be the year that God turns it around. And so I'm going to believe that God is going to make this a great year. It may be that this is the year we break the 200 in attendance barrier. You say, brother, do you believe it? It just may be. Well, no, I don't like all these numbers. So let me tell you something. Every number represents a precious soul. Church growth, for church growth's sake, just to have big numbers is not the right motive. But I'm here to tell you, as long as there's 60,000 people in this city, and And until every single church has won every last soul to Jesus Christ, we got some chairs to fill. Amen. It may be. Come on now. It may be you might come to church one Sunday and somebody's got your seat. What you going to do about that? I mean, got your seat. And you might have to sit closer. Or you might sit further back. It may be that parking lot full. It may be that we have different nationalities and skin color. Come on, help me preach here tonight. It may be that God is about to do something above and beyond all that we can ask or think. I'm believing. And Jonathan said, it may be. I'm just going to keep on keeping on as if the answer's on the way, because God is the answer. Amen. And I'll tell you something, Jonathan and his young man whipped those Philistines. And God brought a great victory because somebody was willing to show themselves, to show up. I encourage you to show up on Friday night prayer meeting. I encourage you to show up on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I encourage you to show up because God wants to show off. Amen. Amen. I believe this year is going to be great because of God's promise to say amen. Amen. Because of God's power, say amen. Amen. And then number three, because of God's provision. Look at Amos chapter 9. This will blow your mind. Amos chapter 9. Verse 11 through 13. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I would build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden, and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, verse 13, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hill shall melt. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. I know it's a plow sometimes. You got to plow in prayer sometimes. You don't feel all the Holy Ghost goosebumps at 5 o'clock in the morning. You don't feel it all the time. That plowing is... sometimes you got to do a little plowing when you're teaching those kids on Wednesday night. I'm sure you do. Amen. Well, it's not always easy. It gets tougher to do the work of the Lord. And times are tougher. Plow. But just keep on plowing. Keep on breaking back the fallow ground. Keep on busting through the dirt with your praise and with your enthusiasm. Because it's not in vain, because it says it's coming to pass that the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. So somebody has to plow, somebody has to sow, and somebody has to reap. And it takes time. Can I say amen? But God is saying, I'm going to instantly. Now I know people say you got to tarry, and I believe in tarrying, and I believe in waiting on the Lord. That's a sermon I preach, waiting on the Lord. And there are times, Brother Kyle's waiting on the Lord. My wife is waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord for that right opportunity. And I went, when I resigned my church at Smyrna, I had no idea where God was going to send me. And I went several months, but I'm here to tell you, there comes a time that when you've been waiting and when you've been plowing, and there comes a time when you're going to overtake, and God's going to begin, you're going to begin to reap the harvest, and it's going to come in so fast. You're going to be like, Lord, how in the world? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Oh, thank God that the plowman one day is going to overtake the reaper. Every tear that is shed, every burden that is carried, every cross that we mount up the Via Della Rosa will yield one day to an empty tomb and resurrection, power and victory and glory and reaping and souls being saved and the church growing and God blessing and souls saved because of His provisions. Let me read this passage out of the Message paraphrase. Now, the Message paraphrase is not an accurate translation of the Hebrew and Greek Bible. It is a man who sat down and in his imagination, paraphrased what this scripture says. So it's not the accurate word of God, but it does give an interesting take when he interprets this, or he not interprets it, but paraphrases it. He says it this in the Message, Amos 9 and 11. He said, "But also on that judgment day, I will restore David's house that's fallen to pieces." Now see, that's not exactly what the Bible says, but that's what it meant. I mean, have you ever had things to fall to pieces? He said, "I will repair the holes in the roof." Now that's not in the original, but we know what it means to fix a hole in the roof. Things happen. He said, "I'll replace the broken windows and fix it up like new. David's people will be strong again and seize what's left of the enemy." Amen. God's decree, He will do this. Yea, indeed, it won't be long now. Turn around and tell somebody, it won't be long now. That's a paraphrase of "the days are coming." Sound good to me, Brother Eugene Peterson. It's not altogether accurate, but it don't mean it. Basically, I can accept that because it won't be long now before mama's getting saved. Amen. Amen, somebody. I said it won't be long now before Gabriel is going to blow that trumpet. Did you know that 2017 could be the year that Jesus Christ raptures His church? And I don't know about you, but I've been ready. He said, and Eugene Peterson said, "Things are going to happen so fast that your head will swim." If you don't like that, that's all right. We're not going to argue about it because it's not the true word of God. But the plowman overtaking the reaper. And Eugene Peter says, things will happen so fast it'll make your head swim. Now I can understand that too. God can do something just like that. Amen. There's some overdue blessings that you think are overdue, but God said they're just on time. And when they happen, He's going to provide, because He is Jehovah Jireh, and He's Jehovah Shammah, and He's Jehovah Roy, our shepherd. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains. He said, "I'll make everything right again for my people Israel. They'll rebuild the ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and they'll drink good wine and they'll work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables." I'll tell you, the Lord is going to provide every need in 2017. I wish you'd give Him a hand of praise here tonight. I said 2017, it's going to be great because of God's promises. Say amen. Because of God's power, say amen. Because of God's provision, say amen. Amen. Going to happen. It won't be long now. Your head's going to swim. And finally, I know 2017 is going to be great, finally, because the most important thing of all, because of God's presence. Amen. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Actually, when you have His presence, you really got the rest. When you have His presence, you've got His promises. You got His provisions. Amen. You've got His power. You know, when the hurricane come through, they always talk about the eye of the storm. Can you say amen? That little spot in there where everything is calm. And everything's messed up over here and everything's messed up over there. But the eye of the storm. I want you to know there's an eye, not of the storm, but an eye in the storm. Amen. I'm telling you, His presence. You know, when I think about that night that they were on the boat and the storm came up, and a terrible storm, and Jesus came walking to them in the fourth watch of the night, and man, to make matters worse, they see what they think is a ghost out there, the Phantom Menace, you know, the ghost out there. And they're like, oh, when things go from bad to worse. But Jesus said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Oh, I'm about to shout and run this aisle here tonight. Because in the midst of the storm, Jesus, first of all, declared His presence. Because He didn't calm the storm first and then say, "It's me." He said, "It's me." And then He calmed the storm. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, when you got His presence. And you know what? When He said to them, "Be not afraid, it is I." You know what He was really saying? He was really saying what God told Moses in the Old Testament. He said, "I am has sent you." So really, you can interpret that as Jesus saying, be not afraid, this is the I am. Amen, somebody. The I am. I mean, the I am. Listen, if you need peace, if you need the storm calm, if you need financial breakthrough, if you need a healing, if you need a lost loved one saved, if you need deliverance, if you need miracle, if you need guidance and direction, answers to prayer, salvation, sanctification, the filling of the Holy Spirit, revival, here's the words. He said, I am. I'm the one that brings revival. I'm the one that brings healing. I'm the one that brings sanctification. I'm the one that meets your need, not Best Buy or not some other employment. I'm the one that gives you this day your daily bread. The I am. To the artist, he's the altogether lovely. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the banker, he is precious gold. To the baker, he is living bread. To the biologist, he is life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he's the great teacher. To the farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the Rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he is the Rock of Ages. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he's an advocate. To the publisher, he is the great tidings of great joy. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the statesman, he is the desire of all nations, and they shall flow unto it. To the theologian, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the traveler, he is a new and a living way. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To the Christian, he's the Son of the living God, the Redeemer. And to every one of us, he is the great I am. Would you give him a praise? Because the I am is here. Well, glory. I am light in darkness. I am the one who comes walking on the water. I am your shield. I am the good shepherd. I am he who... I'm talking about the seven I am statements of the book of John. I've just read them to you. He said, I'm the light of the darkness. I'm the one that can turn the water into wine. I'm the one who comes and feeds the multitudes. I am the door, and I am the way. I am the truth and the life. I am the one that goes and prepares place for you. I'm already in 2017. I'm already in 2019. I'm already in eternity in the future. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am that I am, and he is here, and he's going to be with you, and everything's going to be all right. Would you stand with me tonight? Just get ready to just play something. I'll let you know right when to start. I'll tell you, years ago, we were sitting at a meeting, Brother Jerry, in Mount Olive, and Doug Bartlett was sitting to my left, and I was sitting here, and I believe Pastor Jerry was sitting over here, and all of a sudden, I went up, and Brother Doug went down, and then I went down, and Brother Doug went up, and I didn't know if Pentecost had failed or something. I mean, I was with some great people, but there was a mild earthquake had hit Mount Olive, North Carolina. That happened about 6 or 7 years ago. But there was a major earthquake that hit. And let me tell you, I am glad I live in North Carolina and not California. Somebody say, go out to California. Go ahead, Pastor. If God opens the door, you go right on. I'll stay by the stuff. Amen. David said those who stayed by the stuff will be rewarded just like those who went into the battle. Amen. I claim that scripture at Westmoreland. Amen. Because it's important to stay by the stuff. But listen, during a great earthquake, the people of the village were frightened. And one old lady was just calm and even joyous. And the villager said, old woman, aren't you afraid? No, she said. I'm glad to know my God can shake the world. Hallelujah, somebody. What have I to dread? And what have I to fear? Leaning on, that's a good one, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way in 2017. Everybody else thinks it's an earthquake, but I know that my God has got His hand when the earth quakes, and He can shake the world. It's in the palm of His hand. Lift your hand up tonight and say, Lord, I thank You. 2017 is going to be great. It's going to be great. Say, there's more at West Portland. What have... Go ahead, just hit me a key. Any key is fine. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how sweet... It, whatever. Leaning on the everlasting. Lean in. Leaning. Lean. Hallelujah. That secure from all. Oh, leaning. Leaning. Leaning on the everlasting. Go to any verse. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus. 2017. Won't be a great year. And secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus.
I want to leave you with, just play softly if you don't mind, but this guy, his living was making shoes. He was a shoemaker. This is in the 1700s of England. He just, every day he went to work, he made shoes. He worked on shoes. Nothing spectacular. He repaired shoes. But in his shop, he had a map of the world, and one country in particular called India. They told him, nobody's ever been to India to preach. And every day he'd go to work, he'd see that map, and he'd pray. He said, oh God, save India, send somebody. You know what happens when you start praying for God to send somebody? Guess what happens? Let me explain it to you by word picture here. He'll do this. He'll tap you on the shoulder. God's tapping you on the shoulder tonight, Caitlin, because He's got a work for you to do. He hasn't forgotten you. And the hand of the Lord is upon your life. And He is calling you to the nations. Trust Him. Hold His hand. Never let it go, for He'll never let you go. God tapped him on the shoulder and put into his heart. And he came up with this little phrase, expect great things from God. Say that with me. Expect great things from God. What are you going to do in 2017? Expect great things. But there's another side he come up with. The same man I'm talking about. Attempt great things for God. So we're going to do it together. Expect great things from God. Flip it over. Attempt great things for God. You may say, Brother Ricky, you want me to invite my son to come to church? Do you know how many times I've invited him and he's told me no? Expect great things from God. And attempt great things for God. Let me tell you something. There's a football game going on right now, and I'm not watching it. But I'm here to tell you that that game is not won in the first quarter. It's not won in the second quarter. There's halftime. It's not won in the third quarter. It's not won in the last 5 minutes. Let me tell you, that game is won in the fourth quarter and at the last minute of the last second. And how many football games have been won in the last 3 seconds when that ball would go through the air, come down, and everything is... I'm about to shout. I'm here to tell you, you need to expect... Listen, if your child has told you 100 times they're not coming to church, at least when you go to heaven, and God forbid if they go to hell, at least you've asked them 500 times. Amen. I'm going to keep on. The game ain't over yet, baby. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to expect great things, and I'm going to attempt great things this year. His name was William Carey. William Carey. And William Carey went to India. He's the father of modern missions. You know, every Sunday when we talk about missions, do you know where it started? It didn't start overseas. It started in a shoe shop in England, because somebody believed that God was up to something. Would you join me at the altar tonight? And I want us to pray for our lost loved ones this year. I want us to get a burden like we've never got. I know we need jobs. I know we need healing. But I want us to come tonight and pray for souls. God, give us souls. He's all I need. Come on, let's pray for souls. He's all I need. There's more.
Jesus is all I need.
Pray for lost souls tonight. Lord, I pray for my family. Pray for our neighbors. I pray for my co-workers. I pray for those even in this church. Their seat is empty. And oh God, we pray you'd bring them back to the fold. Use us, God, to go out to the highway and the hedges. We're believing you for a great year. 2017 is going to be great. Your presence, your promises, your power, your provision. You're going to save. You're going to sanctify. You're going to baptize in the Holy Ghost. Oh God, we call out to you for souls. We call out to you for souls. Cry out to God for souls to be. Give us children, or else we die. Oh God, we pray for not just the preachers, but all of our members to be soul winners. There's more at Westmoreland, more for Westmoreland, more in my life, oh God. I call out to you. I need you tonight, God. Oh God, thank you tonight, Lord, that you're saving our uncles, that you're saving our neighbors, that you're using us to invite them to church. And if they say no, Lord, make it go before us that they cannot say no, they cannot resist. Oh God, before it's eternally too late. We claim grandchildren. We claim the drug addict. We claim the prostitute. We claim the doctor, the lawyer. I claim those like Seth Wooten who are businessmen yet who need Jesus. I'm not sure if he's saved or not. But God, people like him that need Jesus. God, we expect great things. We attempt great things. I want you to join hands all across this altar. Pray you one for another right now. Pray for the one on your left. Pray for the one on your right. Come on, ask God to touch them. The one on your left. The one on your right, God. Oh, Lord, touch our pastor. Touch our first lady tonight. Oh, God, touch our young people tonight. Touch our musicians tonight. Oh, God, we join hands. We're believing, God, that 2017 is going to be a great year. Oh God, we're believing you, Lord, for mighty things. We're believing you, no weapon forms. It may be that this is the time. It may be that God, now is the hour. It may be that the seats will be filled. It may be, God, that we'll see Azusa Street here on Tillman Road. Oh God, it may be, God. 19 years of prayer every Friday night. The plowman will overtake the reaper. Oh God, thank you that our pastor has sown and sown, not just materially, but spiritually. And now is harvest time. Oh God, we claim it tonight. 2017, we bless you tonight, God. We come against disease, infirmity. Now would you just lift your hands as we sing,
He's all I need.
I tell you, He's everything.
He's all I need. Jesus
is all I need.
Yes, He is, oh Lord. He's all.
Yes.
All my need.
All my need.
Jesus is all
I need.
Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Thank you, Lord. 2017. We're not going to be looking forward, backward, sideways. We're going to be looking up. Because we're going to the other side. Amen. Expect great things. Attempt great things. Amen. He is the God of the impossibility. You say, there's some hard-hearted people out there, but there's a Holy Ghost that's like a hammer. It'll break to pieces. Amen, somebody. Pastor Jerry, would you like to conclude our service tonight? We love you. Let's welcome him back tonight. We love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Jerry, 2017, it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, great year. I've been back in the youth service tonight, and a great lesson going on, a teaching on prayer. Same thing we're doing on Wednesday night. And we just thank God. A good Pastor Jonathan's preaching to him. And everything was good. The Spirit of God was there. And I'm excited to see that even in the youth service that the Word of God is being preached, that Scriptures are being used over and over again. I think we ought to go out of here singing that song in F chord, I Am Redeemed. Hallelujah.
Well, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Well, if anybody asks you just who I am, won't you tell them?